We haven't seen that hymn very often. We need to, don't we? What a great hymn that is. More secure is no one ever than the loved ones of the Savior. Are we more secure at home than here?
No.
God's sovereign everywhere, isn't he? In him we live and move and have our being. But one of the young ladies sitting in here right now texted me and said, I'm not afraid, I'm in Christ.
Amen.
Neither life nor death can ever from the Lord his children sever. Little flock to joy, then yield thee. Jacob's God will ever shield thee. What a great hymn. Great. Great. Daniel chapter 9. We read this last Sunday. And it's going to be even more relevant and needful now to us. This is a declaration of our God, for his glory, and it's for our faith, a prayer, not unlike Solomon's prayer, or Ezra, or Nehemiah, or Psalms, all the Psalms, full of prayers, David to the Lord in the face of all their fears. Daniel is a wonderful type of Christ. Mandy's been teaching our young people the story of Daniel. He's called greatly beloved, a revealer of secrets. He was made ruler over the kingdom. That's Christ. But Daniel, in this prayer, we want to look at this as Daniel the man, Daniel the sinner, like us, just like us, living in Babylon. Pray in this prayer to God, supplication with thanksgiving, repentance, prayer for mercy, forgiveness, prayer for his nation. Daniel prayed for his nation, didn't he? People that didn't know God, that didn't listen to Daniel, that despised Daniel, he prayed for them. And so do we. Something interesting before we look at this. You're going to love this. By way of remembrance, the Lord had men divide the Bible up into chapters and verses. And I don't think men meant it this way, but it happened. You can remember what's in Daniel 3. That's the three Hebrews in the fiery furnace. Daniel 6 is Daniel in the lion's den. Daniel 9 is this prayer to God in which God revealed Jesus Christ and him crucified. The third hour is when they put Christ on that cross. The sixth hour, darkness over all the land, when Christ dealt with that lion. The ninth hour, when he cried, a great cry, is finished. 3:69. God did that. Daniel 9, in the first year of Darius, or they'll call him Darius, because that's the name we are familiar with, son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, made king over the realm of the Chaldeans. And God, whoever's king, God puts him there for his purpose. He said of Pharaoh, for this purpose I've raised you. Oh, were there plagues because of that evil man and because of the idolatry of the land. But God did it. Why? To bring his people out. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years where the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years and the desolations, destruction, Jerusalem. Every word is significant. And before we go any further, you need to know this. This was when Darius first began to reign. You remember, Darius is the one that threw Daniel in the lion's den. Why? Because he was praying. Because he refused not to. When the decree came for everyone, no one to pray, no one to bow to any other god but the god of gold, the god of this world, Daniel said, no, I don't do that. I'm going to pray to God. That was back in chapter 6. And Daniel, Melanie, was praying this prayer for the very people that threw him in the furnace. That was one of those prayers he was praying back then. And God gave him such peace after he prayed this prayer. After Daniel prayed this prayer and God showed him Christ and him crucified hanging on a tree and why he came, what he did, and who he did it for, and where he is now, it gave him such peace, throw me in the den, lion's den. I've got peace no matter what happens. You understand? Right after this prayer, he was thrown in the lion's den. What are we going to face? I don't know, but I hope after this is over, we'll have such peace and we'll realize, we'll understand, we'll have an understanding that God did all this for His glory, for His Son's glory, for His people's salvation. Every bit of it. No matter what it is the Lord. And it is good for His people. He's bringing us out. Bringing us out. All those plagues upon Egypt were the precursor to the Lord bringing His people out. All right, now look at verse 3. I set my face, and by the way, he said all that God would accomplish. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. He'd already purposed, and everything that happens is purposed by the Lord. And He'd accomplish it. His will, His purpose, and that purpose is concerning Jesus Christ and His people. You know that. He's given you an understanding like He did then. Verse 3, I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Set my face. You know, the Lord said, you seek my face. No matter who it is, seek my face. Call upon the Lord while He's near. You know what He said? He said, call, seek. He said, the Lord will have mercy. He'll abundantly pardon. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Doesn't matter who it is. We read that in Solomon's prayer. It doesn't matter who it is. Called in the name of Christ for mercy to our God, He'll save you. Isn't our God good? God ready to pardon. Abundant in mercy and grace and truth. It's true. You need to be trusted. You should be trusted. Daniel said, I set my face. David said, when you said, seek my face, I said, thy face I seek. That's Psalm 27. Whom shall I fear? Verse 4, I prayed unto the Lord my God. Is He your God? Is this God your God? You know, even if you don't know it, He is. I pray that here's salvation, to know it, to know Him. That God may come through the preaching of this word and reveal unto you that He is your God. And if He's your God and you're the sheep of His pasture, you have nothing to worry about. Nothing. Daniel said, my God. How ironic is it? How significant is it that the whole world is taking His name in vain? Oh my God. When God's people call on Him in truth, that is from a real heart of repentance and crying unto God for mercy, saying from the heart in humility and repentance, oh my God. Now, if anybody would say that, if anybody would say that in sincerity and truth, oh my God, have mercy upon me. Reveal thyself to me. Reveal your Son to me. Save me or I perish. You'll do it. through his word. I made my confession. Daniel was the finest man in the Bible. There's not one flaw mentioned about Daniel. Not one. Because he's such a clear picture of Christ. But was Daniel a sinner? Yes. And he knew it. He knew it, didn't he? He made my confession. David. Oh, how I love David. Admire David. David said, "Oh, my sin is ever before me. I made my confession. I said, O Lord, the great, verse 4, and dreadful God who keeps covenant and mercy to them that love him. Oh, the great and dreadful God." We read that in Isaiah 8. Let him be your fear and your dread. What does that mean? I don't know. I can't explain it. I really can't. I've tried. Those that fear God knows what it means. They know what it means. You can't explain it again. But he keeps covenant. An agreement, a contract, a covenant he made with Christ. A covenant made concerning God's people by sacrifice. Christ. He keeps that. He keeps his word. He's a God that keeps his word, keeps his promises. And mercy. He's reserved mercy. To them that love him. Do you love God as God? The world doesn't. You know that, so. The world doesn't believe God as God. They don't like or love the sovereignty of God. I do. Don't you, from your heart, do you not really love that God is God? The world thinks, well, if God did all this, then God's a monster. Man's the monster.
Amen.
Man's the one that bites the hand that feeds him. Man's the one that won't thank God, won't, you know, turns the truth of God into a lie. Man's the one that's rebelled against his creator. What does God require of man but just to thank him, just to worship him, just acknowledge he's God? God doesn't do things to innocent people. God's no monster. God's merciful.
Amen.
God is love. God is grace. God is mercy. God is righteous. God is just. He cannot do evil. Man can do nothing but evil. But God. Do you love God as God? Oh my. If you do, blessed aren't they. Them that keep his commandments, lay hold. Verse 5, we have sinned, haven't we? All of us have committed iniquity. Paul wrote in Romans 3, after Romans 1 and 2, about the Gentiles and the religious people in chapter 2. And then he said in chapter 3, are we better than they? Are any of us better than anybody? No, we're the children of Israel better than the Egyptians? No. Well, why did they come out? Why did God have mercy on them? Blood. Promise. Sovereign mercy. Sovereign rule. What? We've sinned. We've committed iniquity. All of us. Verse 6. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name, our king, our princes, our fathers, all the people of the land. O Lord, verse 7, righteousness belongeth unto thee. The judge of the earth is going to do right. He always has, he always will. He's going to do right. And this righteousness, you know, this righteousness is the righteousness that God must grant. The righteousness that God must impute. The righteousness which God must give to and put upon and cover his sinful people with, and it's his to do. They're all a bunch of sinners and rebels. But God gives to, imputes to some this righteousness. No, it's not my works of righteousness which we've done. But it's this righteousness that Christ made. That God puts upon his people. It belongs to him. Salvation belongs to the Lord. He giveth it to whomsoever he will. Confusion belongs to us. Verse 7, confusion of faces. You look in the faces of people right now, there's nothing but fear. Confusion. What are we going to do? Confusion of faces. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? How ironic is it that we're told to keep 6 feet apart from each other, when the very last thing that will happen to us is that we're going to be buried 6 feet under the ground. I say we greet one another with a holy kiss and trust the Lord. No, I didn't say that. God did. It's ironic, isn't it? We're going to be separated, all right. Death. But not those who trust the Lord. Who shall separate us? Ain't going to be 6 feet from us. We're going to be arm to arm, bosom to bosom with the Lord. And verse 7 is like 1 Kings 8. Wherever you people are, wherever they are, whatever tribe, whatever nation, kindred, tongue, wherever they are, if they've trespassed against thee, and they have, it's against him. You notice how many times it said against thee. Verse 8, O Lord, to us belong confusion of faces. It's our kings, our rulers, our princes. They don't know what's going on. They don't know what to do, do they? Our fathers. Why? Because we've sinned against him. Our Maker. It's clear to us. It was clear to the children of Israel. They met together. And they feared the Lord because they knew we're sinners. And what's happening to the Egyptians out there could happen to us. Why? Because we're sinners. And the soul that's in it shall surely die. And in that story, it says there was not a house in Israel where there's not one dead, in Egypt. Not a house where there's not one dead. God did what he said. But you know, someone pointed this out. There was not a house in Israel where there was not one dead. In every house in Israel, there was a lamb dead. And so they didn't die. But there was one that died. For them, because they were sinners. Are you under the blood? Are you a sinner? Do you trust Christ? You'll never die. You'll never die. Christ said so. Verse 9, to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgivenesses. Oh, it's how this world thinks God owes them. Don't they? Preachers have lied so long now. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. God loves you. Jesus loves you. He loves you. He has a wonderful... He wants to. Is that any way to approach the judge of the earth whom we sinned against? Well, if you were facing... you were guilty of a crime and you were standing before the judge, would you approach him any way but in brokenness and contrition, begging for mercy? Would you dare approach him like, I know you love me and I know you want to, and I may decide to let you? That's what's wrong with this society. That's why it's in the shape it's in. Preachers, no fear of God. Verse 10, neither have we obeyed the voice of our God to walk in his ways. Verse 11, all Israel has transgressed thy law. All of them have departed. And this curse is poured upon us. Oath is written. And go back and read Deuteronomy 27, 8, and so on and so forth for yourself. Read all that. It applies to now. Verse 12, he's confirmed his words which he spake against us. God has done, is doing, and shall do exactly what his word has said. Confirms it. We see it. God's people see it. We see it clearly. Even before it comes, God says, this is what's going to happen. You say, there it is.
Isaiah, through the whole book, prophesied 100 years before Israel was taken into captivity. Warning them. Did they listen? No, they didn't. A few did. Some did. And right in the middle, though, buddy, or towards the end, he showed them Christ crucified. Let's go on. Verse 13. So we make not our prayer before the Lord our God, that we might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth, which is Christ. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil, brought it upon us. The Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth. We've not obeyed his, we've obeyed not his will. Now, O Lord our God. Now he's speaking of his people, God's people. You brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt. Brothers and sisters, us in here this morning, many if not most are not of this world. I believe the Lord has delivered us by a mighty hand. Verse 15, with a mighty hand. Christ is the hand, the right arm. Gotten thee renowned. Oh, we know who he is, don't we? But we've sinned. We have. I said a while ago, I fear this and that and the other. Some things I do fear, reproach. I don't want the world to accuse us falsely or me. Or I don't want you to get that virus and die from it. You know what the world will say. See? Where's your God? If I get it, that's what they say. See? You're getting what you deserve. That's what they said of Christ on the cross. We did the same, him smitten, stricken of God. God did this. Well, yes, God did this. And man meant it for evil, but God, it was good. And so it will be with us, whatever it may be. I fear self-righteousness. I fear, you know, we're meeting and some aren't, for whatever reason. And I don't want to judge my brethren. I don't want to be guilty of self-righteousness. I don't. It may be the last time, but for a while. We've sinned. We've done it wickedly. Verse 16. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, that's Christ, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins, the iniquity of our father, Jerusalem, and thy people have become a reproach to all that are about us. Religion is not the answer today, people. It's the problem. It's the reason that our world's in the shape it's in. Go back through the Old Testament, you'll see. When they started becoming idolatrous, worshiping all those different gods under Solomon, and all hell broke loose on earth, and all manner of immorality and wickedness took place. Under men like Josiah and Hezekiah and David and Asa, men, godly men that preached the truth and all that the nation was restrained. The fear of God there. But when idolatry, when another god was preached, and the people just did anything they felt like, and false prophets were telling people lies, and the whole nation went to hell in a handbasket, didn't it? And that's now. Oh God. So we pray for ourselves, and we pray for our children, we pray for our nation, we pray for those that don't know him, don't we? Verse 17. Oh God, hear our prayer. Cause thy face to shine. Daniel says, cause your face to shine. God's angry. The wrath of God. I hear the mockers. I hear the scoffers when we talk about this being the judgment. I hear them. They've always said that. They've always mocked it. But it's true.
All through the scriptures, the wrath of God. This is not some wild itinerant preacher standing on the street corner of New York City saying, repent, kingdom of God is at hand. This is the word of God. The wrath of God is mentioned all the way through. In the Revelation, the last book in this Bible, 7 times it mentions the wrath of God. There are 7 plagues poured out on this world, being all of them the wrath of God. It's the word of God that I'm preaching. It's the word. It's the truth of God. Does God love everybody? No. It's the wrath of God. We clearly see that, don't we? But we clearly know that God ought to be angry with us. But He's not. Why? Because we're good? Because we've changed? Because Jesus Christ. Now, will God accept that? Yes. Lord, verse 18, incline your ear, hear, open thine eyes, behold our desolations. The city. Our Lord talked about the abomination of desolation. Don't get caught up in prophecy so much as to real, but understand this. You understand this. That right after they crucified our Lord, Rome, Israel was perished, temple was torn down, Rome, false religion started in the world, it just pervaded the world. But God had a remnant. The abomination of desolation started spreading over all the earth. But so did the gospel. So did the gospel. And as all times, He's had a remnant. According to the election of grace. He sends His gospel. What is the gospel? We're about to see it. It's not an it. It's a person. Read on. He said in verse 18, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes, behold our desolations, the city which is called by thy name. We do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercy. Oh Lord, hear. Oh Lord, forgive. Oh Lord, hearken and do. Do what? Do it all. Have mercy. Forgive us. Redeem us. Save us. Pardon us. Enlighten us. Defer not for thine own sake. Your name's sake. Oh my God. For thy city, the church, thy people, they're called by thy name. End of prayer. Will God hear that prayer? Well, how will He give peace in such troublesome times? How will He give comfort when there's such great fear? How will He show His people that His promises are yea and amen and sure, and that they may have confidence and courage in the face of all fear, no matter what it is? How will God give them that peace and that hope and that comfort? He'll show them Christ and Him crucified. Look at verse 20. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin, the sin of my people Israel, presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God. Did you pray that prayer with Daniel? I hope you did. I hope I did. For the holy mountain of my God, the church. While I was speaking in prayer, God, the man Gabriel, God sent an angel, a messenger, a preacher. Whom I'd seen in the vision at the beginning. Being caused to fly swiftly. Run. God said, run. Run, Gabriel, run, tell this man who's seeking my face, there's mercy with the Lord. Tell him the message. And he touched me about the time of the evening oblation, and he informed me. Here's what he said. He talked to me. He said, and this is how God informs His people. This is how God speaks through preaching. Oh, Daniel, I now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. Oh, didn't John say that? Oh, we believe the Son of God has come and given us an understanding. Yeah, you need not fear if you're in Christ. He's given you that understanding. Read on. At the beginning of thy supplication, verse 23, the commandment came forth. When you started praying, the commandment came. Almighty love, arrest that man. Go there. I'm come to show thee. Thou art greatly beloved. You know who God loves? Those that love His Son. Those that love His glory. Those that hate themselves. Those that know the plague of their heart. And those that call upon Him in truth, in Christ's name. That's who God loves. Christ said that. He said that to His disciples. He said, the Father Himself loveth you because you love Me and you believe Me. Why? Because He first loved us. While I was speaking, He sent this preacher to tell me, God loves you. While I was praying, confessing, as the old writer said, as soon as admission is made, amends have been made. As soon as confession has been made, redemption's applied. In fact, before that. Oh my, thou art greatly beloved. God loves you if you understand what a sinner you are and your only hope is Christ. God loves you. Understand that matter. That's the crux of the matter. And consider the vision. Now here it is. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people, upon thy holy city. This is all about God's church. That's what it's all about. The world's just playing a part. You understand that? The purpose of God, the will of God is all concerning His kingdom, the gathering together of His people in Christ. And the whole world, like Egypt of old, plays some part in that. It's all been determined. It's all the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, the purpose of God, according to redemption that's in Christ Jesus for His people. Read on. It's all determined upon thy people, verse 24, to make an end of sin. God's making an end of everything. When Christ was put on that cross, He made an end of sins in His people. Put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. He made an end of sin to make reconciliation for iniquity. Christ came to reconcile us to God. Enemies. How? By being made sin. He is our peace. The blood of Christ. Peace by the blood of sacrifice. To bring in an everlasting righteousness. A robe. A covering. A righteous garment. A covering. Covering their sins forever. The righteousness of Christ is the wedding garment of the saints. Do you wear one now? Read on. To seal up the vision. All of this is hidden from the wise and prudent. But it's revealed unto us and our children. Even our children know these things in their head. Bless God. And to anoint the most holy. Very soon there's going to be a coronation. And I'm not talking about in England. I'm talking about in heaven. The marriage supper of the Lamb. We're going to crown Him with many crowns. The Lamb upon the throne. A coronation such as never been seen before. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, blessed are they that are called to that marriage. The most holy Son of God. Know therefore, verse 25. Know this. Understand it. Going forth of the commandment. And this commandment was made before the world began. Christ was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. To restore and build Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks, 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall even in troublous time. Now again, I warn you, don't be
caught up so much in the prophecies as with the gospel here. There are lots of people looking for the second coming of Christ who don't know that Christ is coming. It all depends on the first coming of Christ. Why I came the first time. We need to understand that. That's what this is talking about. If Christ was to come, to put an end to sin, make an end of sin, to reconcile God's people. For this cause, Christ said, I come into this world. For this cause. And that's our cause. That's the cause. That's why we meet this morning. That's why I'm standing here this morning. To preach Christ and Him crucified in you. That's our cause. The Lord maintain our cause. Is there not a cause? What is it? The cause of Christ. His glory, His honor. And this is the cause that removes our fears. Because if God spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not freely give us all time? If God be for us, how do we know God's for us? If we're all sinners like the Egyptians, how do we know God's for us? He showed us the Lamb. We're in a house where the blood is preached, aren't we? Always, constantly. The blood, the blood, the blood. God loves us. We need not fear whatever may come. He showed us Christ. Like old Manoah. He wouldn't have told us all this if He's going to kill us. He wouldn't have accepted the sacrifice. You preaching the same thing, preacher? Why, that's all there is.
That's right.
Christ is all.
That's right.
This is freedom from fear. In verse 26, the Messiah is going to be cut off. That's Christ crucified. Not for Himself. He was made sin who knew no sin for His people. People of the prince shall come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, the end thereof will be with the flood, and the end of the war, desolation of the earth. Speaking of Christ crucified in it, shortly thereafter, 70 weeks, the year 70 is when they destroyed the temple. But brethren, when Christ was on that cross, the temple, unseen, was built, finished, with a cry by the Zerubbabel of Zechariah, grace unto us. Salvation of God's people was accomplished. Warfare, iniquity pardon, the end of sin, iniquity, and all of God's people put away by Christ on that cross. And they came then, like the scripture says, going to wipe everything out. Going to shake everything. But not those that are in Christ. Not going to be shaken. Not desolation to them. God's going to destroy everything and everything else but those in Christ. There you have it. There you have it. And He'll confirm this covenant, verse 27, with many for a week. He'll keep confirming this to His people over and over and over and over again. And then you'll see the overspreading of abominations. He'll make it desolate to the consummation, to the end of the world. It's determined. It's poured out on the desert. But God's people are not in darkness, even as ever. It's not desolate. It's not doomed for God's people. Let me close with these thoughts, okay? Closing thoughts. This may be the last time we meet. It might be for a while. What will happen to us? Will our economy collapse in this nation? It could. It always has. Who did it? God did it. Will we contract a disease or sickness or even die from it? Could be. It's happened. Elisha
What did Elisha die of? Some sickness. What was it? Cancer? A virus? The flu? Could have been. Was it God's judgment upon him?
It was God's mercy upon him. It was God's goodness to him.
Job didn't want to lose his comfortable lifestyle. You know he didn't. Job didn't want to lose his possessions. But he did. God took them all. God did. Job didn't want to lose his children. But God took them. Job didn't want to lose his health. But God took it. God did it, didn't he? He sent means. But God's the one that did it, didn't he? Where is there any comfort other than? He's our God. How did Job console himself? How did Job comfort himself? How did Job relieve his own fears? You know what he said? The Lord gave. I didn't deserve it. The Lord gave it all to me. The Lord had taken away. What is he? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And then, oh, I love this. And may we all be able to say this. Though he slay me, though he slay me, I'll trust him. I'll trust him. I'll trust him. And the scripture says, you mark the end of Job. Mark the end of it. The end. That's what we need to be wise and consider the latter end. You know what the end of Job was? Peace. Eternal peace. Temporary trouble everywhere, all the time. One thing after another. But you know what the end was? Indescribable, unspeakable joy and rejoicing and peace forever. No more sorrow. No more tears. No more pain. No more sin. Brethren, the Lord is taking His people out of this place. He really is. He really is. Just the other day, a dear lady, 83 years old, a member of the church in Fairmont, West Virginia, known her all my life, Iva Born, Iva Lou. A nobody to the world. Just a country bumpkin. Like our ladies. All of them. Yeah, that's you. But loved by the God's people. Known by God's people here and there. An unknown to the world, but known by God's people. The other day, she went to walk down her basement steps like any other time. You got basement steps. We got basement steps. You got, okay. She fell down the steps, broke her neck. Was in a coma and went to the hospital and her children around her had to pull the plug. Who did that? God did it. That woman loved Christ, knew Christ. The Lord revealed himself to her. She sat under Brother Scott's, Richardson's preaching for years and now Brother Marvin's for years and the Lord had revealed himself to her. She had a good hope and now she's with the Lord. There's no doubt in my mind that. Not because of her goodness, because of God's goodness. In revealing Christ to her, and she believed by the power of God. Okay. All right. Now, while she was in the hospital, her children trying to know what to do, to pull the respirator, the plug, and all that, her husband of over 50 some years, Carl, 85 years old, was put in the same hospital with a blood clot, pneumonia, everything that could happen to you. God hit him with it all, right there. All right, now he's in the hospital. He can't even go to her funeral. Marvin had her funeral Saturday morning, 11 o'clock. This morning at 3 a.m., her husband, the Lord took her husband. They're in glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What do we fear? Spurgeon said, we fear the thing that's going to be the best thing ever happened. Take us out of this God-forsaken place, this sinful place, and take the sin out of me.
Amen.
That's going to be wonderful. And so he says,
for me to tell you in Isaiah 3, verse 10, say ye to the righteous, it shall be well. Those in Christ. Yeah, it's all right. Better than all right. It's better than all right. It's going to be good. As good like you've never seen it. All right, let's stand and sing a closing hymn. 297.